as Matthew West and Day One. So, as I said, it is today the beginning of Chinese New Year, the start of the Year of the Dog, and there are more than a few concerns being raised by organisations that work with Christians in China that this year promises to be, well, a reason for anything but a celebration. We heard earlier in the week about some of the experiences of persecution going on in some provinces around China, but as the New Year starts, a message comes from our friends at Release International that new rules are likely to cease even stronger clampdowns on Christians and on churches in China. Joining me to tell us about it and to unpack this thought for us, an old friend of the programme, it's Andrew Boyd from Release International. Andrew, welcome. And I kind
of
want
to... Good morning, people.
Well, I kind of want to say Happy New Year, but in truth, it's anything but for Christians in China, is it?
Well, it's looking a little bit dodgy at the moment. So we're seeing, as you've already said, the Year of the Dog being announced in China. The real concern is that as far as the church is concerned and the authorities' attitudes towards the church, it's looking, 2018 is looking set to be the Year of the Underdog, because a whole set of new regulations are coming in which give local authorities more power to regulate Christians. And we know that within China, you've got two levels of regulation, if you like. You've got no regulation at all. That is where Christians say, I'm sorry, we can't sign up to be controlled by the state, because they'll tell us who should be our pastor, they'll tell us what to preach, they'll control and monitor our meetings. So you've got the so-called underground church, the house church, is growing very rapidly in China, which is concerning the authorities. And you've got the state-controlled church. These are the ones who have registered, who are doing everything legitimately as they would see, who are given a certain amount of freedom. But these new rules mean that both kinds of churches are likely to be affected, because on the one hand, they're giving local authorities the ability to look at church buildings and say, do these actually fit with our environment? Should we have buildings like this here? And they're also tightening up the regulations and giving more control to those local authorities.
And there is a sense in which this is, I mean, things have always been difficult, I think, in China for Christians, and particularly for Christians in the underground church. But there is a sense in this that this is one of the strongest crackdowns and sort of strengthening of the rights of the state to take against churches that we've seen since the Cultural Revolution.
Yes, that's right. In fact, Release International's partners in China say that the crackdown we're seeing, and this is part of it, means that the persecution is the worst in China since it's been in the Cultural Revolution. And these new rules will mean that the next decade they have even more powers. Let me just give you an example. There are lots of examples, and I know you've been talking about them earlier. But if we just use our imagination a bit, just supposing that we were living in China. Now, I've got kids. And if I think, OK, I'm going to take my family to church today. I want my children to be able to go to Sunday school. I want them to have teaching that's appropriate to them. Well, actually, I can't, because it's illegal to take children to church, and it's illegal to have Sunday schools in church. You can't do it because the state sees that as indoctrination. So you think, OK, well, I want my children to grow up in the faith. We're just going to have to meet in our own home. Well, under these new rules, if the authorities find out that we're meeting in our home, they can demolish our house. OK, well, it doesn't apply to me because I rent. I don't own my home. Well, the landlord can be fined heavily for allowing me to have a Christian meeting in my own home. That's what's going on in China at the moment. So very, very difficult for Christians in that country. And yet, despite all of that, despite all of the best or the worst efforts of the authorities, the church is growing at an incredible pace within China. Sociologists say that by current predictions, China is heading to be the largest Christianized nation on earth by about 2030. And the numbers of Christians we're talking about, more than 220 million Christians, absolutely enormous.
And do you think it is that growth that is actually causing the sense of threat for the state authorities?
I think that's well and truly part of it. But you have to try to understand, put ourselves in their shoes, in the shoes of the authorities, and understand why are they doing what they're doing, because it all seems rather paranoid. But you're talking about a single party state, which doesn't trust its people to vote in free elections. You have to vote for a Communist Party official. So it's a very tight, it's not a democracy, China, not a true democracy. And everything comes under the control of the state. And anything that doesn't come under the control of the Communist Party, remember, it's officially an atheist party. Anything that refuses to come under that control is treated with suspicion. So we're seeing churches, for example, being demolished. We're seeing a program of crosses that have been ripped down from the rooftops of churches in one particular province, Zhejiang, which has had really quite a revival within the Protestant church. Christianity growing fast and very visible with those crosses. So ostensibly they've said, oh, health and safety, you can't put that on top of a tall building. It could fall down on somebody. But actually their real reason is to limit the growth of the church, and they've stated that. They've been pulling down the crosses. And what happens from there is that under these new regulations, this process is extending now to other provinces within China. They call it Sinicization, in other words, making more Chinese. And it's about this control. And the pastors who've opposed it legally, who've said, no, hang on, why are you doing this? You shouldn't be doing it. And have mounted a legal challenge, have faced up to 10 years imprisonment for that. And the lawyers that they've brought in, now these, think about this. These are lawyers who've been brought in legally to challenge the way the law is put into practice within China. These lawyers are being imprisoned, denied legal representation. Their families aren't allowed to visit them. They are disappearing and being held without notice. All of this for trying to uphold the rule of law in China. So it's a very, very odd, very volatile, very difficult situation, and it's all about control. Another example would be if you take up offerings in your church, if those offerings exceed a certain figure, then as a church leader, you have to submit them to the Communist Party for approval. So pastors in one church have recently been fined $1 million for the offerings they took in the church, which have been deemed to be illegal. And under these new rules, if you run a church, you have to put an office within your church where Communist Party officials can come and monitor your church proceedings and look at the takings from your offering. It's just extraordinary. That's the kind of pressure that they're living under. And that is the pressure that is likely to get worse, particularly as more power is given to local authorities who will interpret it widely and differently across the country.
So what can we do in this? Because this isn't the only criticism of China. There are lots of people criticizing China as of human rights and in terms of legalities of business and so on. What can we really do to influence such a monolithic country?
Well, I think we need to take our cue from what the Chinese themselves do, the Chinese Christians. China regards Christians who won't come under its control as enemies of the state and potential spies. But the Christians themselves will say, just a second, we pray for you. We pray for our leaders. This is what the Bible tells us to do. It doesn't tell us to oppose you when we don't. We pray for you. We work within the rule of law. We pray for your good. We work for your good. We don't want a change of regime in China. We want to see China blessed. We want to be a blessing to China. So that's how they pray. So how should we pray? And we certainly should, because we need to stand with them. They're our flesh and blood, these Christians in China. And what they're going through, we go through as well. That's how it is in the body of Christ. So I would say what Release International is doing, and others like us, and there are lots of good organizations out there who are working with a persecuted church, it's first of all, understand what's going on. In Hebrews 13:3, it says, remember those who are in prison. Well, we need to get to know who they are. So if you have a look at the Release International website, put in China, you'll get stories from China. You can come face to face, heart to heart with these folks, listen to their stories, begin to carry them in your heart and begin to pray for them. So prayer is important. We can get involved in petitions and lobbying and in practical support. So Release is working with partners on the ground in China who are experts, who understand the culture, who are working with the church to meet their needs. So pastors who are imprisoned, we will help support their families. So there's a lot we can do. But I would say, you know, Paul, perhaps the first thing we should do unexpectedly is we should rejoice, because it's actually the Lord who's in control. He's in control, and the church in China is growing, despite or maybe even because of the persecution, at an absolutely astonishing rate. So we should be really glad for that, and yet not complacent, because we're still called to care and carry one another's burdens and support one another. But it's that blend of recognizing, actually, the Lord's got this, and he's doing an incredible work, and that mixture of compassion that says, and yet we need to pray, and yet we need to stand with them, and yet, you know, like with Jesus at Gethsemane, we need to watch and pray for a bit and carry the weight of that. It's that amazing blend that is our privilege within the body of Christ.
ReleaseInternational.org is the website. If you go there, you can acknowledge 50 years of serving persecuted Christians around the world, looking to support and to raise awareness. Have a look at the website for yourself. Amongst other things, on the website, every day there is a prayer for the persecuted church, a different part of the world. And that will help to perhaps prompt us to remember our call, that we use our freedoms to support and care for those who do not share them. Andrew, always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you for joining us.
Paul.